In honor of Catholic Schools Week, I thought we'd start off this homily with a pop quiz. All right, ready? Three questions. Answer silently to yourself. You can feel free to discuss these on your drive home or over brunch with your family. Question number one. If you were to die tonight, what would happen to you? Where would you go if you were to die tonight? All right. Number two. What is your criteria for number one? So you said, I'll go to heaven. Okay, so you show up at the gates of heaven. Why should they let you in? What's your criteria? Oh, you should let me in because X, Y, and Z. All right, so why number one? All right. Okay, question number three. Based on what authority? What's your authority for number two? You should let me in. They'll let me in because of this. Based on what authority? I think that's what it comes down to, right? What's the authority for our confidence in whatever we have confidence in? Notice in the gospel reading that Mark doesn't tell us what Jesus said. He just tells us the reaction of the people. They were amazed and astonished that he spoke with such authority. He didn't speak. He didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees. He spoke with authority. There was something about him that was different. What was it? What was this? What was this authority? Well, we bounce back to Moses, we heard in the first reading, who says, hey, I'm going to raise up a prophet like myself who is going to speak the words of God. Now, remember, Moses would go up the mountain. He'd go up the mountain, he'd talk to God, and then he'd come back and say, hey, this is what God said. But he's saying there's somebody who's going to come who's going to do something even greater than that, something even more profound than that, something even more integral than that. And so when Jesus comes and he starts preaching, so you see the scribes, they would say like, so this passage according to, you know, Rabbi so-and-so means this, or this passage according to Rabbi such-and-such means this. They would always put it in context of some other teacher and what they said about this particular passage. And then Jesus isn't doing that. He's just saying, this passage means this. I mean, we can think of other areas when he taught him and think the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said this, I say to you this plus. Usually he kind of like raised the bar. This is what this actually means. And they're amazed and astonished. The Greek word there for amazed and astonished, by the way, it's not like, ooh, look at the juggler. That's amazing. Wow, look at the cool magic trick. That's astonishing. It's more like, whoa, that fire just consumed that house in like 3 seconds. There's like this fear element to it. They're like, ah, whoa, yeah, okay, take it easy here. They're astonished. They're amazed. Not unlike when God would come down on the mountain and talk with Moses. There's fire and lightning and smoke. They were afraid. They're getting a little bit of that now. If this guy is who he seems to be speaking like he is, this makes some demands that I'm not sure I want. Because even though the scribes wouldn't preach like this, they wouldn't teach the way that Jesus is teaching, they clearly think that they have some sort of authority. Otherwise, you wouldn't have so many different factions of Jews. You had the Pharisees, and you had the Sadducees, and you had the Essenes. And then even within each of those groups, you had different factions who interpreted things different ways and lived the law in slightly different modifications. And really what they're realizing is this guy is saying that he's in charge. He's speaking authoritatively. I think that the problem with the Israelites is that they've learned how over the many centuries to not hear the voice of God. like Moses points this out. He says, well, I would go and talk to God because you didn't want to hear him. You said, you go and tell us what he says, because if we hear his voice, then we'll die. We don't want to hear the voice of God. Like, mediate it for us. Tell us, you know, simplify it for us. And he actually did. And so for centuries, they've been used to not listening to the voice of God. And now all of a sudden, he's standing there in the flesh, speaking, he's not just speaking the words of God. He is the word of God. And they have a hard time with this, because they aren't used to the voice of God. And I think if we're honest about it, that can be us too. We have a hard time with the voice of God because it doesn't speak to us the way that we want it to speak to us. It says something, that's hard. I don't want to do that. But if it's the voice of the Lord, then he's the one who has the authority. We live in a world right now where there's so many authoritative voices, right? Everybody's the authority about something, you know, the authority about health, or the authority about nutrition, or the authority about politics, or the authority about whatever. And you can really pick and choose. You know, we can go on our favorite YouTube channels and like, this is my authority for sports, and this is my authority for news, and I trust whatever they say. They're in charge of me in this area of my life. And we can really choose our authorities. I think in our education system, we see it as well. We can tend to teach, the authority on science, or the authority on math, or the authority whatever, and we can hear it in such a way like, well, this must be the truth. Or the authority says, there is no truth, and you get to decide what's true for yourself. This is why it's all the more important in today's age to have Catholic schooling opportunities. Because only in a Catholic school do we learn how to listen to the voice of God. Because at the end of the day, all these other authorities in our life, and they may have certain expertise, sure. And they may have certain things where, yeah, they're good at. But the only authority can be the author. Because no other authority knows the ultimate destiny of man. Oh, you want health? That's great. Well, when you get healthy, then you're done. Oh, you want to be good at this sport? Well, once you get there, you're done. What's after that? What comes after the thing that you're trying to achieve? Because we're not made just for this world. We're made for eternity. And we have an eternal destiny. And the Lord is the only one who knows how to get us there. He's the only one who can get us there. And if we're learning in such a way that leaves God's voice out of the picture, then we are learning an inadequate view of reality. And that's the danger. It's a real danger. I mean, I've said this many times, but the median age of children leaving the church, like being disillusioned and saying, I'm not going to be a Christian anymore, is 13 years old. Why? Because the authoritative voice of science has told them that there's no need for God. They've forgotten how to hear the voice of the author of life, or never learned it. And in a good Catholic school, that's exactly what they learn how to do. They hear the voice of the Lord. And look what the voice of the Lord does. Once the voice of the Lord speaks clearly and speaks with authority, demons are silenced before him. The unclean spirit is silenced. And that's the world. There's so many voices, and it's hard to discern between all of them. There's the voice of the world, there's the voice of the flesh, there's the voice of the evil one. And until we hear and know the sound of the voice of the author of life, they're all just competing voices who might have equal claim to my attention and time. And what the Lord goes on to do once he silences those voices, he goes on to heal. He spends the next chapter healing, giving sight, returning hearing, taking away leprosy, making people whole. Because that's what the voice of God does. It makes us whole. It makes us more fully human. And it returns to us our eternal supernatural destiny that no other authority can get us to. It gives us what we all actually long for. The answer to whatever we said in number one. Because I assume that most of us said, I want to go to heaven. I desire that. I'm really pleased and proud of the work that we're doing here in our Catholic school. Our teachers, our principal, our faculty, our volunteers are just really incredible. They're men and women who are seeking the voice of the Lord themselves and trying to instill them in their students. Religion's not a part of the day. It's the day. We pray during the day. We integrate God into everything we do. This is the goal. And not only that, but we try to learn and teach virtue. Because without living the virtuous life, we will never be able to hear the voice of the Lord clearly. And so we continue to do something here that is more and more important now than it's ever been. And I'm so grateful that we have all the way through middle school so that now we open up the opportunity for the Catholic high schools that are in our area. And we have four really stellar Catholic high schools within 30 minutes of Delano. And I think more and more as the voices of the world get louder and louder and more crowded and there's more authorities vying for our time and attention, that becomes more important for us as parents and grandparents to send our children to Catholic high schools. Holy Trinity High School, just over in Winsted, their principal is a parishioner here. We have students who are there and who have been there. Holy Spirit Academy up in Monticello, we also have a teacher there and students there. We have several students out at Chesterton Academy, just in Hopkins. I was there for the gala last night. It has always impressed me. I've been involved with them for many years. And then, of course, we have a handful of teachers and students over at Providence Academy. All of these high schools are very solid options to continue to form our children in the Catholic and true worldview that we really long for, so that they can know the voice of the author of life who is the only one who can give them the fullness of life that they long for. At the end of the day, life is a test. And the most important question on that test, the quiz at the beginning, is number three. Who is your authority? If it's not the author of life, then how confident can you be in your answer to number two? And if you truly desire the answer to number one, then we have to come back to this fundamental proposition. We need to learn to hear the voice of God.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With great confidence in our Heavenly Father, let us present to him now our petitions.
We pray that the Church will stand before the world without stain or blemish, holy and obedient to God's word. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For an end to terrorism in the world, and for healing of all hatred and division, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We pray that through devotion to the Most Holy Eucharist, our parish will grow in faith, hope, and love. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the poor, the sick, the homeless, and those who are hungry, may the mercy of God raise them up. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the grace of greater confidence in the authority and power of Jesus in our life, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the souls of all of our friends and family members who have died, that they may rest in the peace of Christ, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions offered at this weekend's Masses, for the repose of the soul of Marvin Henches, for the people of our parish, and for Mary Smith on her birthday, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bring our prayers and hearts before you, we pray that you pour down your blessings upon us. Open our ears that we may hear the voice of your Son, Jesus, who leads all his children into your house, where you live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
As we turn our focus now, this first half of the Mass, the Lord has been speaking to you. And now we turn to the altar and we speak to God. And the priest, symbolically, as Moses did, goes up the mountain to speak to the Lord on behalf of his people, comes back with the Lord's blessings, feeds them with the bread of life. So I encourage you to bring your attention to the Lord, to Calvary, Jesus, where we enter into the one sacrifice once and for all. One of the things that we do at our school Masses, because we're a classical school and we try to integrate some Latin into our day, we'll do a little bit more Latin than we normally do. If you know it, feel free to join on. If you don't, just listen to the children sing it. And then the last thing, when it comes time for communion, I know that if you're not Catholic, or if you've been away from your regular attendance of Mass, haven't been to confession in a long time, you can remain in your pew and pray the prayer on the card in your pew, spiritual communion, or you can come forward for a blessing like the children do and just cross your arms over your chest like this. That's at the time for communion.
Oh,
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. O Lord, we bring to your altar these offerings of our service. Be pleased to receive them, we pray, and transform them into the sacrament of our redemption, through Christ our Lord. Dominus vobiscum. Sosum corda habemus ad Dominum. Gratias agamus Domino Deo nostro. Dignum et It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for in you we live and move and have our being, and while in this body we not only experience the daily effects of your care, but even now possess the pledge of life eternal. For having received the first fruits of the Spirit, through whom you raised up Jesus from the dead, we hope for an everlasting share in the Paschal mystery. And so with all the angels we praise you, as in joyful celebration we acclaim. Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus Dominus Deus Sabaoth. Plenis sunt celi et terra, gloria tua, hosanna in excelsis, benedictus, qui venit in nomine Domini, hosanna in excelsis.
To you, therefore, most merciful Father, we make humble prayer and petition through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, that you accept and bless these gifts, these offerings, these holy and unblemished sacrifices which we offer you, firstly for your holy Catholic Church. Be pleased to grant her peace, to guard, unite, and govern her throughout the whole world, together with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Bernard, our Bishop, the Order of Bishops, all the clergy, and all those who, holding to the truth, hand down the Catholic and Apostolic faith. Remember, Lord, your servants. And all gathered here whose faith and devotion are known to you, for them we offer you this sacrifice of praise, or they offer it for themselves and all who are dear to them, for the redemption of their souls and hope of health and well-being, and paying their homage to you, the eternal God, living and true.
In communion with those whose memory we venerate, especially the glorious ever-Virgin Mary, Mother of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, and blessed Joseph, her spouse, your blessed apostles and martyrs, Peter and Paul, Andrew, James, John, Thomas, James, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon, and Jude, Linus, Cletus, Clement, Sixtus, Cornelius, Cyprian, Lawrence, Chrysogonus, John, and Paul, Cosmas, and Damian, and all your saints. We ask that through their merits and prayers in all things, we may be defended by your protecting help. Therefore, Lord, we pray, graciously accept this oblation of our service, that of your whole family. Order our days in your peace and command that we be delivered from eternal damnation and counted among the flock of those you have chosen. Be pleased, O God, we pray, to bless, acknowledge, and approve this offering in every respect. Make it spiritual and acceptable, so that it may become for us the body and blood of your most beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. On the day before he was to suffer, he took bread in his holy and venerable hands, and with eyes raised to heaven, to you, O God, his almighty Father, giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took this precious chalice in his holy and venerable hands, and once more giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me. Mysterium fidei. Mortem tua annunciamus Domine, te tua resurrectionem confitemo, non Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the blessed Passion, the resurrection from the dead, and the glorious ascension into heaven of Christ, your Son, our Lord, we, your servants and your holy people, offer to your glorious majesty from the gifts that you have given us this pure victim, this holy victim, this spotless victim, the holy bread of eternal life and the chalice of everlasting salvation. Be pleased to look upon these offerings with a serene and kindly countenance, and to accept them as once you were pleased to accept the gifts of your servant Abel the just, the sacrifice of Abraham our father in faith, and the offering of your high priest Melchizedek, a holy sacrifice, a spotless victim. In humble prayer we ask you, Almighty God, command that these gifts be borne by the hands of your holy angel to your altar on high in the sight of your divine majesty, so that all of us who through this participation at the altar receive the most holy body and blood of your Son may be filled with every grace and heavenly blessing. Remember also, Lord, your servants who have gone before us with the sign of faith and rest in the sleep of peace. Grant them, O Lord, we pray, and all who sleep in Christ, a place of refreshment, light, and peace. To us also, your servants, who those sinners hope in your abundant mercies, graciously grant some share in fellowship with your holy apostles and martyrs, with John the Baptist, Stephen, Matthias, Barnabas, Ignatius, Alexander, Marcellinus, Peter, Felicity, Perpetua, Agatha, Lucy, Agnes, Cecilia, Anastasia, and all your saints, admit us, we beseech you, into their company, not weighing our merits, but granting us your pardon. Through Christ our Lord, through whom you continue to make all these good things, O Lord, you sanctify them, fill them with life, bless them, and bestow them upon us. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching,